How many of you believe that God has a perfect will already set forth in our lives? You got 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon notice. I give our grandson's Sunday school notice this morning, so I'm going to ask the boys to come up.
Okay, so the title of this is Today is the Day to Cultivate Humility. It says, humility comes before honor. Proverbs 18:12 in the New International Version. If you think you know it all, you do not know much. False pride can trip you up, so watch your step. It is wonderful to be proud of what you accomplish or other people you love, but to assume you have all the answers or better answers than anyone else can be a dangerous trap. The Bible talks about pride before going a fall. So listen, look, and pray for wisdom. God gives the humble-hearted wisdom and guidance. If you cultivate humility and compassionate kindness, you will find grace wherever you go. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4:6. If you harden your heart with pride, you soften your brain with it too. An ancient proverb.
All right. Oh, thank you. Yeah. All right. Mine says, Christ is the answer. It starts out with Job 42:1-6, and that says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. And the key verse is Job 42:5, which is later. Occasionally, a why in adversity is met with a swift response from God. Periodically, a why is discerned much later than the request. But on most occasions, God does not directly give explanations for adversity. We live in a fallen world. We in creation suffer from the consequences of sin initiated by human rebellion in the garden. To advance in your adversity, you must not dwell or linger too long on why, but shift your focus to who, the person of Jesus Christ. R.C. Sproul, in Surprised by Suffering, spoke of Job's situation. Job cried out for God to answer his questions. He desperately wanted to know why he was called upon to endure so much suffering. Finally, God answered him out of the whirlwind, but the answer was not what Job expected. God refused to grant Job a detailed explanation of his reasons for the affliction. The secret counsel of God was not disclosed to Job. Ultimately, the only answer God gave to Job was a revelation of himself. It was as if God said to him, Job, I am your answer. Real solid growth can occur in difficult circumstances when you bow before God and entrust yourself and your problems to him without demanding a solution. And then to end, it says, Heavenly Father, let me shift my focus from demanding why to recognizing who. You are my answer.
Mine's called Unite with All My Followers. Starts off with John 17:23, NLT. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. This is from the book Jesus Speaks, by the way. That's why it's the first person. On the night of my arrest, I prayed for my disciples and for everyone who would believe in me through their message. I prayed that you and all my followers would be united. You may wonder, with all the different doctrines and churches, how did this unity ever be possible? Good question. Unity is possible only when people make following me their greatest priority. It would be impossible to unite if the basis of unity were agreements on doctrinal issues. I never said doctrines were to be the focus of my followers. The focus of my followers should be me, discovering and doing what I say. When I told my apostles to make disciples of all nations, I didn't say to make disciples by teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. The only way to follow me is to hear my words and do them. When that is the focus of your daily life, you can have perfect unity with all those whose hearts are focused on following me. And it ends with, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 13, 34 and 35, New King James.
So why did I ask them to speak? I told a brother this morning that I think I'm not alone in thinking this, that it's time for God's body to start operating through his head. See, that's the thing. God's the head. We're the body. The title of this is The Wonder-Working Power of God is Working in Our Midst, Kurt said. That's a long title. But when I wrote that down, I thought of everyone in here. And I thought, you know, God, if everyone would just move by your Spirit, those that are led of the Spirit are the children of God. If you would just move by his Spirit. You know, a lot of times people think that because they're not behind the pulpit or they're not a teacher or they're a choir director or in the choir or whatever, that, you know, God doesn't have anything for them. Well, it's time that the body quit lying to itself, because God has got tremendous things for you if you will dare but try the Spirit and see whether they're of God. Everyone sitting in here, down to Sam, should know how to do that. It's time for us to grow up. Now, things that bring us to grow up, sometimes we don't care for. Some people even call them trials. Got a lot of nerve calling them trials. Or some of them call them temptations. Got a lot of nerve calling them temptations. That's right. Well, God taught me a long time ago, they're called opportunities. And it's not the opportunity that you stand up and be recognized as much as you do stand up and recognize him. Our lives are supposed to be about God. I'll read you a scripture I hardly ever read, but when I did, I understood it. In Deuteronomy 29:29, I'm going to break this down, Rich. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. The secret things. There's things that we're not supposed to know. Have you ever asked God why, and you never hear an answer? Not because you're keeping on asking him why, but he don't want you to know. Then it goes on and says, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. I'm going to get close to home here. Some of you, I wish we'd get away from this, because I can't understand, if they're born again Christians and they love the Lord and God was their Savior, how would we keep on saying, I've lost this one, or I've lost that one? They're in the presence of God. You got a lot of nerve saying they're lost. We need to quit being stupid. I got three grandsons out here that would tell you, if you get emotional, you get stupid. And they learned that because I've taught them that. Because, see, once you get into this realm, God would have you know first the natural and then the spirit. We've been taught that time and time again. He wants you to look things through his eyes, see things through his eyes. You know that when God takes someone home, there's an addition about ready to happen? And I mean in the natural, there's about an addition about ready to happen. I remember when Junior was getting ready to go home, all of a sudden he didn't realize he had three great-grandchildren on his stomach, just born. They weren't that old. God knows how to take one and add three. We need to see it as a revelation that God's in control. Let me finish this, I guess. It said, but to us and our children, and I said forever. How long is forever? It's beyond our years, beyond our days. Forever means forever. The things that he's going to reveal and that are revealed to us. And by the way, when they're revealed to you, don't hold them like they're supposed to be a secret. Reveal them to someone else in the time that God tells you to reveal them. And I want to show you something. As an example, if we'll do this, let all of us who have gathered in his name stand up today. I'm asking you to stand up if you've gathered in his name. God's going to show you something. And you know what? We need to quit acting like, I'm not sure if I should do that, God, or whatever. I'm not ready for that. If God tells you to do it, he's already supplied you with how to do it. He's already given you the strength to do it. If you hear from the Lord and he tells you to do something, do it. He's a wonder-working power of the Lord. But anyway, let all of us who have gathered in his name stand up. Now listen what God has done. God has and is giving every one of you the strength and the power to believe in his word. To believe in his word. Amen? Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now you may be seated. By the way, I do that with Josh every once in a while. I'll say something that he don't like, and I'll say it, and he'll go. He'd give me one of those looks, and I go, that's what I wanted to see. By the way, I believe God does that with us. We've done it enough to him. Have you ever, like my brother says this real good, and by the way, I don't have this wrote down. He said, if you want God to laugh, tell him your opinion. That's what Job did, by the way. Tell him your opinion. I told Chuck, I said, I actually believe not only your opinion, but your attitude to where it should go. Then I think he busts out laughing. Last week, Brother Oscar had spoke a lot of things, and I was back there just to let you know that I did get a lot out of last week's service. And he talked about a foundation that God had known you from the foundation of time. That's what I wrote down, of time. Before there was, he knew you. And he knew us. He knew what we would be and what we could be. And by the way, in the end, that should be the same thing. What we would be and what we could be should be the same thing. In God's eyes, it will be the same thing. See, a lot of us believe, how's this? A lot of us believe God knows when we pray. He's been dealing with me a lot about this. And how we pray, what everybody believes, and who he has joined us with. You know, I wanted to tell you what a wonderful congregation this is. You're a bunch of strange people, but you're a wonderful congregation. By the way, Kurt, I do know what I can get away with and what I can't. But that's no lie. I mean, God has joined us together. It says we're a peculiar people. So we shouldn't apologize for being strange. I mean, and please, please listen to this. We should never, ever be offended by somebody thinking we're strange. We're right in God's plan, right in his hand, right in his plan. He's doing exactly what he wants to do with us. In 1975, in August, I know exactly where we were at, this church here. We had run out, Thurlene and me had ran out. Camp Ernst had backed out on us at camp, for summer camp that year. And we went and found a camp up in Hamilton called Camp Chautauqua. Remember that? Those that were with us, remember that? If you were small, you probably don't. Listen to this. One night we gathered together in one accord to bind an evil spirit that was within a young lady that came to kill and destroy her. And you know what? They began to pray, and they prayed in the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Well, it happened. The evil spirit came out, and it was gone. But during that time, this is what I remember, because I was struggling, and I was remembering, I was trying to pray different. I have spoken to several people, actually only three, as of Susan last night, and said this to them, and I had told the Sunday school class this morning, you know, you wish that you could say something. We got to get away from what we hope God would say through us. We got to be led of the Spirit and actually say what he would say through us. Sometimes, like calling those things that aren't as though they are, we have to become one in spirit in order to become one in unity. And unless we're one in the Spirit, that means we want to do the things that God wants us to do. So being up there, a young lady came up to us and she said, Debbie was pregnant with Josh at the time. She said, aren't you going to leave? And I said, leave? Why would we leave? Well, they're getting ready to play that evil spirit out of this young girl, and it's got to go somewhere. And I said, so you're thinking we need to leave before that evil spirit goes out of her and into Debbie, into our baby? She goes, yeah. I appreciated her saying that. I don't know if she got what I said next, but I appreciate what she said. I said, well, let me say something to you. That evil spirit is going to come out, but it's not going to run to where the blood of Jesus is. Hello. It's not going to run where the blood of Jesus is. See, when you pour the blood of Jesus, you say the blood of Jesus is upon you and all over you, and you let that flow, the evil spirit's not going to run to that. It runs the opposite way. Goes away from that. And I brought that up to say this. I've been praying and asking God, God, how can I pray for my own son? I mean, I would love to say what I said to Grandma Jeanette. We went there. She was sick one time at the house on Fleming Road. And Debbie and me, I don't know whose wedding it was. We were going to a wedding. She said, let's stop in and see Mom. I said, okay. So we stopped in to see her, and Junior got on the bed next to her. He sat down next to her. She was sitting there. And as she was sitting there, the Spirit told me, he said, you tell her this sickness is not unto death. Well, she got up, got dressed like she was going to the wedding with us. That went right over your head. She felt she was dying. She got dressed, got up, wanted to go to the wedding with us. That's a time of celebration. That went right over your head. Oh, boy, I'm sorry. But this is what the body ought to be functioning in. You shouldn't function in, I'm not sure if that's what God wants me to say. Hello. You ought to have had enough practice of hearing God's word. Now, how do we hear God's word? Well, we had three young men come up here a while ago and read God's word. We got to quit acting like I'm going to pick and choose who I hear the word from or through. It's God's word. We got to be in one accord that we come into agreement with it, all right? And then down the road, It's been a few days, Levine, but down the road, we went over to visit Levine, and that's the same word that the Lord gave me to give to her. This sickness is not unto death, when she had her stroke. Isn't that right, Levine? She's shaking her head, yeah. Well, last night when I was talking to Susan, the Lord came upon me when I was in the car on the phone. Yes, that can happen. And I put on my brake. I said, this sickness is not in the death. She said, I'm so thrilled that you said that to me. She said, you just don't know how much that witnesses to me. She said, I accept that. I accept that. Well, I'm saying all that to say this. It's not whom the Lord uses that's important. What's important is the fact that you let him use you. You let him use you. You step out in faith calling those things that aren't as though they are. Because why? Because God's smiling at you when you say that. Anyway, I don't feel led to tell that to my son. Oh, I would love to have the feelings to say it. But you know what? I don't want to be a mouthpiece that is a symbol or a glass. I want to be the love of God that does what it's supposed to do. Now, I said all that to say this to you. There might be someone here that the Lord has spoken to go tell that to Josh. But what I'm saying to you, we're body one of another. He can speak to you. Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to obey? The word of God doesn't return void. That way, I tell you what, I think that shuts up more people than anything there is. People want to say something, but they go, uh-oh, like you're going to be held answerable for it. Well, if that's the case, we're all guilty and we're in trouble because we've spoke a lot of things in our lives. God raises us up by his blood, and we stand in it. Oscar last week said, you know, when you haven't done all, stand. And I kind of looked that up this morning. Ephesians 6:13, and the last part of that, it says, we having done all, stand. And having done all meant having overcome all. See, what God's looking for in his body, you know, the head, he's head, you're the body. What he's looking for is for the body to overcome everything by trusting his word. And his word says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome everything. The head has overcome. Are you attached to the head today? If you're attached to the head, it's already been overcome. We should have a thrilling, thrilling moving of the Holy Spirit among us. We should come here and forgetting those things that are past and pressing toward the mark. The mark is, to me, is still attached to the head. Staying attached to the head. So many times we get doing our own things. So I'm going to ask you a question this morning. I know it's not been that long. But you who hear his voice this morning, this very moment, if you hear his voice, will you stand with me again? Stand with me this morning so we can be in one accord. You know, if something happened in your family that you needed a miracle, you might not have believed in one before. But God will touch the very hair on your head, and he don't have no trouble finding it. To have you believe and call on his name, that he will do that which we can't do, which is impossible with us. But that's good, because what is impossible with us is possible with God. I mean, that's his word. We need to get in his word. So when we stand up with me in one accord and say this, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, by your blood we are free forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for your body. and you alone are our head. So I'm asking you to focus on that which you're attached to. And wives and husbands, you're one in the Lord. He that is joint of the Lord is one. He that is of the Spirit of the Lord is one Spirit. So I wrote down, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You may be seated again because I got a little story to tell you. You know what? Sometimes we don't pass something along. It's not because we have forgotten it, even though I told the boys last week to start writing down things daily that God has done for you. So you know, as you get to be, I'm not even going to say my age. I'll say, if you get to me, this mind here, sometimes you lose thought. Debbie says you tell a good story, but sometimes you tell it like that, instead of straight. But years ago, and then I wrote down days because I actually believe that's what the Lord wants us to consider years. He wants us to consider days. Ago, in a men's prayer meeting on a Tuesday night, we were taught to pray, and I didn't know how to do this, Oscar, but we were taught to pray. We went into a room that had a night light on, just a little light. And sometimes there would be 15 of us in there, sometimes there would be 25 of us in there, and sometimes there'd only be 10 of us there. But you know what? Church wasn't local for a lot of people back then. They did have to drive 10, 12, 15 miles for an hour of prayer. But when they came in there for one thing, that we would not only see Jesus, but we would touch him. We would be in his presence. So we had a young man, he was young then, a very humble man, who showed us how to do directional prayer. That's what I call it, directional prayer. He'd come up to you and he'd put his hands on your shoulder and he would actually, it was like a radar thing. And he'd go, okay, pray in that direction. And he'd come up to somebody else, and he goes, oh, okay, you're supposed to pray in that direction. And he would set us, and we would let him. Why does everybody think I need to know that man? The Holy Spirit does the same thing. If we will be still and know that he's God, he does the same thing. He says, you know, I hear your prayers, but you need to reach out in this direction with them. You know, we pray for a lot of things and a lot of different people. But I think sometimes we don't take time to pray. We're busy. Debbie would tell you I watch TV probably 6-7 hours a day. And she's going to get this tape, might be 8. I don't know. Anyway. But the truth is, in the secret times, in the night time, I learned this when I worked at Sun. On third shift, I prayed a lot. And a lot wasn't about the company, and it wasn't about me, but it was about the people I worked for and their lives and their children's lives and their grandkids' lives. And the ones that we have made contact here, when we sing the song, Bind Us Together, in chords that cannot be broken, the only cords I know can't be broken is bound up with Jesus, with his blood that he has given, freely given, and brought to us and say, this is a gift I'm giving you. You know, and all that they accept it, you know, feel like, hey, we're part of one another. When I look out and I'm thinking about this man that prayed, and his prayers were all on intercession for other people. You know, when I think of Jim Pike and Lois Pike, they prayed a lot for other people. And, you know, I know that we pray for our loved ones and we pray for this and that. And I was supposed to tell you, last week when you come down here for prayer, IOIS says, God, just send your word. Sometimes we don't have to be somewhere, but we do have to be in subjection to the Holy Spirit. What's it telling you to do? You know, is it telling you to stand up, sit down, go this way, go that way? You know, have you ever been driving in a car, the light turned green, and God says, don't put your foot on the gas. And then in a matter of a second or two, a semi would go past you doing 65 miles an hour. What's that about? First thing, it's about hearing God's voice, being obedient to it, and Him still holding you in His hand, right like you're right where you're at. So when He said, turn a little bit more, He said, there. Well, let me say this. I'm going to close by saying this to you. Brother Eddie used to sing a song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I can still hear Him singing that. And that's not only good teaching, but that's good truth. And the truth that we've had over the years or days, this assembly has been a part of my life for 50 years this year. And I wouldn't trade any of you for anyone. Because I feel blessed. I feel honored. And I feel that this is where God has planted me. So you can say how you see things, but I see things, God's not done with us. There's better days ahead. And remember, God's in the multiplication. I love math. I'm glad He's in multiplying us. But if you look in the flesh, but after the flesh comes the Spirit. And what the Spirit does, the flesh don't sometimes agree with. So let's get in the Spirit. Let's just bow our heads. Precious Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, and God, that You are on the throne. And it never has been about us. It's been about You. Father, Father, teach us that how to move by Your Spirit so we will honor the name of Jesus above all things. And the Lord, give us ears to hear what You would say and a heart that just groans and groans and groans until we satisfy You. That, Lord, we ask that You be lifted up in our midst. That, Father, we will not take credit for anything. It's not about us. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him lifted up. Bless this food as we go to eat, Lord, this morning. Bless the fellowship. Let it overflow, Lord, into the abundance that we would hear and see Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, if you want prayer, you can come up. If not, you can go back and start eating.